When it comes to leadership, whether it's leadership of a church, leadership really of a company, or leadership of a nation, if people are in charge who do not love the Lord and do not serve Him, then sooner or later there's going to be an issue. And in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2, it says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." Now the sad thing about it is, number one, this is true. But the problem is, this happens so slowly that we as the body of Christ don't catch on. And here's what I mean. You know, you've heard the story of, if you take a frog and throw him in boiling water, he'll try to jump out. But if you take a frog and put him in cold water and gradually turn up the heat to boiling, he won't try and jump out. He'll just stay there and be cooked. Well, it's the same thing in the body of Christ, in that Satan's not stupid. He gradually introduces his plan. And most Christians are so dull spiritually, their ears are dull of hearing, and that they're not very spiritually sensitive. They don't catch on what's happening until it's too late. If you take a look at the condition of our country, and we scratch our heads and think, how in the world could it get to the point to where, you know, it's legal to murder unborn babies? How in the world could it get to the point to where it's legal to or illegal to pray in school and read your Bible, and illegal for teachers in schools to talk about Jesus? How could it get to the point? Well, one generation at a time. One elected official at a time. That's all it takes. And the body of Christ is traditionally Christians, in the effort to demonstrate, I guess, the love of God, have been too quick to compromise on the standards of God. In that, well, we want to demonstrate our love. We don't want these people to be hurt. We don't want them to think that we're, you know, ogres. We want them to know that we love them, and so on and so forth. And along with that is the lack of spiritual maturity. And you put those two together, and what happens is the body of Christ does not stand up and say, no, this is wrong. We're not going to have this. And instead of asking for an elected official's stand as far as their walk with God, what we want to know is, well, where do they stand on the issues of the day? Now, years ago, about 150 plus years ago, the people wanted to know where the politicians stood on slavery. And that's how they voted. And just study the history of this country and you'll see that's how they voted, was how the politicians stood on slavery. In the past, we've had people that elected politicians based upon their position concerning foreign policies. And you can see a pattern of that from Washington, George Washington, up until now. So in other words, throughout the history of this nation, people have voted based upon issues that are political, economic, or social, but not spiritual. So what we have are people that have been elected over the years and put in positions to where they can create laws, eliminate laws, or alter laws that are favorable to God. That's how we end up with laws that say it's okay to murder the unborn, laws that say it's okay for homosexual couples, male or female, to adopt children. Laws that say it's okay for this, that. I mean, all these things are happening, and the only reason that they're happening is because there are laws which say it can happen. And that's it. And you know, you've heard the term, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. The body of Christ hasn't squeaked enough. We haven't, over the years, stood up and made the demands that we're supposed to make. And we had a prophecy, if you remember, that came forth here not too long ago. And in that prophecy, the Lord began to speak, and one of the things that He said was that He's going to hold accountable all of those who have not, and I'm trying to remember the wording of it, but it was something like, hold accountable all the people who have not stood up for the promises and declarations made by those who first stepped foot on this land and dedicated it to God. Now, this goes all the way back 1600s, the pilgrims. You know, Mayflower, when they first stepped foot and they dedicated this land to God, when they said, God, this is your land, this is your country, we commit it to you. And God said he's going to hold responsible all those who have violated that word that was given. So we have a responsibility in the body of Christ to make changes. And a lot of people think, well, you know, I'm just one person, I can't make a change, but you can. Collectively, the body of Christ is the most powerful force in this nation as far as people are concerned. The problem is you can't get the body of Christ united on the spiritual issues. There's too much focus on the social, the economic, the political, so on and so forth, and this is wrong. Because if we vote for somebody based on those issues, we're hoping they'll follow through and do what's right. But if we vote for somebody who is standing up for God's standards and hears God, then we can be assured that that person, for the most part, is going to do what's right. We also have to extend the grace to those individuals and allow them to make mistakes, knowing that we would make mistakes as well. But the key is to focus on those who are professing the standards of God. Doesn't matter if they call themselves a Republican or a Democrat. It doesn't matter. What matters is what they say relative to their stand according to God's word. Now I want to read something to you in Psalm 94, and I really think you ought to turn over there. In Psalm 94, it starts off, says, O Lord, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Now this is a cry of somebody who obviously is facing some adverse situations. Otherwise, you're not asking for some vengeance. You're not asking for some, you know, God, show yourself in this. In verse 2, it says, Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, render a reward to the proud. Now, notice he uses the term judge. He's not using the term savior, deliverer, protector, and anything. He's judge. In other words, he's saying, look, there's a judgment that needs to be rendered. He says, render it, render a reward or a judgment to the proud. Those who have exalted themselves above you. He says, Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? Now, I'm not an expert on Hebrew literature, but from what I have read, whenever something is repeated like this, where it says, how long shall the wicked, it's like a double emphasis on the gravity of the situation. And so he says, how long, Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? Now, how many of us tonight feel like that's what's happened so much throughout the years in this country? That the wicked have triumphed. And it's been frustrating, hasn't it? You know, when you hear, listen, I've shared before about some of the laws that have made it to Congress but were shot down before they could be approved. How that it was introduced into Congress so that a bill was introduced to Congress to make it legal for grown men to have intimate relations with little children. It was introduced. And see, this is the thing that, I mean, it was, and I don't understand the whole procedure of introducing a bill. So bill might be the wrong word, but it was brought up. Something was brought up along this line. And there's several other things that I've shared with you from time to time, and some of you giving me a look like, you've got to be kidding. No, I'm not. These things have been brought up. And it's like the devil's testing the waters to see how far some of this stuff can go. He says in verse 4, how long shall they utter and speak hard things? And all the workers of iniquity boast themselves. Isn't that what we see? Listen, if you truly study the history of this country, you're going to find that there are politicians publicly saying things now that they would never have gotten away with in the first 150 years of this nation's existence. Not even the liberal people back then would have stood for it. And not only that, but you have people today, other politicians, publicly saying things about the president that before would have, according to the standards in the past, that before would have bordered on accusations of treason. So we've gotten to the point now to where this is happening. You know, the workers of iniquity boast themselves. They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. Are we not seeing that? We're the heritage of the Lord. And is there not affliction that goes on? If you don't think so, just go out and try to witness the way that we ought to witness. Just go into a school and try to pass out Bibles and see what happens. He says, now look here, they slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Now, I'm not going to break all of these things down. But one thing, murder the fatherless, I mean, we could make a case for abortion on this one. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Now, they're not publicly saying this, but with their actions, they are. When they continue, you know what I'm talking about, liberal folks, I don't care what they call themselves as far as their political party. When they're confronted with things concerning the Word of God, and they twist it, they ignore it, they shout it down, speak it down, vote against it, so on and so forth, what they're saying is, God's not going to judge this. They're saying it doesn't matter what we do here. Well, in verse 8, now listen to this. It's like God begins to speak. Well, actually, the writer here, David, he's speaking, as like a mouthpiece for God. He says, understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? In other words, when are you going to wake up and see what you're doing and how that what you're doing is so opposed to the things of God? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? In other words, you do what you want to do and live in this delusional world that you've created for yourself, believing that there is no God or that God's not watching or that God approves of whatever. He says, listen, God's the one. He formed the ear. He created the ear. He created the eye. Don't you think he's listening to you? And don't you think he sees what you're doing? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? In other words, he's saying, look, these people may say that there is no God. They may reject God, but God is speaking. And now, how is God speaking? Briefly, how is he speaking? Well, there's a lot of wrong doctrine that's being preached on Christian television, but Jesus is being preached. And repentance is being preached. And born again is being preached. In other words, I don't care where you are in this country, you cannot escape the cry of the gospel. You must be born again. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity, verse 11. He's saying, look, your thoughts, the ones that are in opposition to God, they're vanity. And he knows your thoughts. He knows what's going on. Now look in verse 12. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. Now, what he's saying here is this. That phrase, chasteness, there in verse 12, that word, it's not so much, give them a spanking as it is to correct them and to reveal to them the truth. And he says, blessed is the man to whom you reveal truth or teach or instruct and teachest him out of thy law that you may give him rest from the day. In other words, he's saying, look, you've got days of adversity. Now, Jesus said this. He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. He says, however, God has spoken to us and revealed to us in his word what it's going to take to have rest in the days of adversity. And he says, blessed is the man that takes heed to what God says and applies what the word of God says, because he'll experience the rest of his salvation. In other words, the peace of his salvation, the comfort of his salvation, that rest that comes with salvation. And he says in verse 14, for the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Now, in verse 15 where he says judgment, let's rephrase this to help clarify. Clear spiritual wisdom and discernment. Clear spiritual wisdom and discernment shall return unto righteousness, or shall be given, shall be released, shall be imparted, shall be revealed to those who are righteous, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. In other words, those who are truly seeking after God, they're going to receive this judgment. They're going to receive this instruction, this discernment. They're going to follow it, and they're going to be following the path that God has given to them. And in verse 14, where he says that God will not cast off his people, neither forsake his inheritance, I really want to touch on this just for a moment there in verse 14. A lot of people have cried out and said, God, where are you in all of this? What's happening in our country? This is terrible. Where are you, God? And God is saying, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm telling you right here, I'm not leaving you. And I'm not turning my back on you. I'm here the whole time. If you had been receiving my instruction and applying it, there's a really good chance that a lot of the stuff you're seeing happening in your country wouldn't be happening now. Because I've told you many times, I won't leave you. I'm here right now. I'm ready to give you all the instruction that you need so that you can walk the clear path of righteousness. And he says in verse 16, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Now, I want you to think of it from this perspective. Instead of us crying out, oh God, who will do this? Look at it as though this is God speaking. And the Lord says unto His children, His church, who will rise up for me against evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? In other words, I'm up here in heaven and I've given you folks the authority down there on earth. Now who's going to stand up for me and deal with this? He said, I'll give you the wisdom, I'll give you the insight, I'll give you the direction, I'll give you the discernment, but who's going to stand up for me and do what's right? Listen, I know a lot of Christians say, well, Christians don't have any business being in politics, but when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. Now how can the righteous rule unless they get involved in politics? Duh. You have to get involved. And God is saying, who's going to stand up for me against the wicked? All right, how come we have all these wicked situations in our country? It's because those who are ruling have made the rules that we can have these wicked situations. And God's saying, well, who's going to stand up for me? I mean, the wicked are standing up for the devil. Who's going to stand up for me? Who's going to do something to bring these things about to bring about change? Who's going to do this? It's got to be it's got to be a righteous person. And it says in verse 17, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Now, just briefly on this, the more that we meditate on the things of the Lord, the more there's going to be comfort for our soul. We're looking at a wicked situation. It's like, God, I don't know how much more of this we can take. This is really wearing on me. I mean, how many times have you felt just angry, frustrated because of, you know, some politician or some judge, what they've done? And he says, look, you will comfort me in my soul in the very area of my thoughts. When we begin to receive from God His perspective on things, there's going to be peace in this. There's going to be comfort. And it says, now look here in verse 20. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? What's the throne of iniquity? The seat of rule. And he says, he's speaking to us now. Think in terms of God asking us a question. Are you going to have fellowship with the throne of iniquity when you know that they are going to form laws that are mischievous or they're evil, they're wicked? They're going to pass laws that will put shackles on your arms to keep you in place. Are you going to have fellowship with them? Let's rephrase it in a way that would be correct for today. Are you going to vote for those who would implement laws that will shackle you in religious freedom, the freedom that my son died to give you? Will you have fellowship? Because, listen, the moment you cast a vote for somebody who stands up for things that are opposed to the Word of God is the moment that you have entered their camp to have fellowship with them. This is a hard thing for the body of Christ, and that is so sad, because the body of Christ should be the ones making the laws. You know, you ever felt like, I can't believe, you know, bars everywhere you go, people getting drunk, why have that? I shut these bars down. No problem. Put the righteous in authority. Put the righteous in authority. Give us enough time, we can shut things down. You say, well, I just don't believe that's... You know why you don't believe that's possible? Okay, now let's think for a minute. Why is it we have so many strip clubs in a city? Why? Why is that allowed? It wasn't allowed years ago, but why is it allowed now? Because lawmakers who didn't see a problem with it said, well, okay, I may not go, but you know, people have freedom in this country. And so you end up with strip clubs. And you end up with the crime that goes along with it and whatever else happens. So it took time to get to that place. You see what I mean? All right, now let's put the righteous in office. Whatever office, call them a judge, call them a governor, call them whatever you want. Let's put the righteous in authority. Give them enough time. Let's keep them there. Give them enough time. And this stuff's going to turn. I mean, it turned before over a period of time. It can turn again. We're not talking about blink your eyes and it happens. We're talking about reversing the trend. And he says, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. God's saying, don't you see what they're doing? See, from God's perspective, there is no gray area. There's a line that's drawn. This is right according to my word, and this over here is wrong. Now, the people that stand for right, they should be in authority. But it's up to you to do it, because in your country and countries like yours where you're allowed to vote, you're the one that votes. I'm God. I'm not a citizen of your country. I don't vote. But I can tell you who you should vote for if you listen to me. And he says, verse 22, but the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. You know what you were seeing here in verse 23? The book of Revelation. Because the judgment's coming. The day is coming when they are going to stand up. I mean, the Bible even says, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. I mean, that day is coming. And the day of judgment is coming. But between now and then, we have the ability to effect change. And it's up to us to do this. I know there are Christians that teach, whoever gets elected, God's the one that's put them in office. No, He's not. Because God is not going to put somebody in office that's going to tell people they can't pray. He's not going to put somebody in office that's going to say, get the Bibles, get the Word of God. God's not going to put somebody in office and then whisper to them, now, listen, you pass a law, makes everybody get the Bibles out of the school so the children can't be trained in the way that they should go. There's some Christians, they just don't think what they're saying. They take a verse out of context where it talks about, you know, the thrones are of God and so on, and they do not understand. They don't put it in context and study it, break it down to find out what God is saying in this. They just say, well, see there, everybody that's in authority, God put them there. That's not true. God does not move on the hearts of the people to bring about a condition of unrighteousness in a country. Now, we have the ability to effect change. The Bible talks about, I mean, Jesus even over there in Mark talked about, believe what you speak will happen and you'll have what you say. The principle in God's Word of Him speaking and then His Word coming to pass. And He made the statement how that my Word won't return void. It'll accomplish what I send it forth to accomplish. Now, we as believers have been placed in a position of authority. The Bible says that we are seated on the right hand with Jesus Christ. We're seated in that place of authority, that we have the right to use His name. We have the right to speak the things of God, to believe that they're going to happen. The Bible talks about, you know, tearing down strongholds and so forth. We have the authority over the enemy. And one of the ways that we exercise this is through our confessions and speaking the Word of God. And we're going to go through some confessions here in just a moment concerning elections. And the only thing that we can do is our part. That's it. We do our part, and hopefully others in the body of Christ will do their part as well. We're not responsible for everything, but we do have responsibility. And when we do our part and fulfill our responsibility, that's all that's required of us.